Do you want to start off with a patchwork?
Yeah, I think we're rolling.
Okay.
It's November 17th, 1981, and we're talking with Tommy Jumper, who makes patchwork, does patchwork sewing, and our interpreter today is Judy Bill Osceola. This is Doris Dian and Mary Boland, field workers.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to know how Tommy Jumper learned how to make baskets.
These baskets here?
Yes, the palmetto stem.
Hantan nagahe ya gai omege atahle me chakte go jingo ga
ni te tama na ni ta ni ta
jingo ga chte
si wa chte ba me wa ta ro so mo man o mo man he te atahle me ta.
She said that her mother taught her how to make it, and then she seen her grandmother make it, and that's how she learned how to make the baskets.
About how old was she when she made her first basket?
When she was about 40, she said she started making them.
That's when she made her first basket.
She never really made it. She said she used to just seen her grandmother and mother make it all the time.
What are the baskets made of?
Palmetto fiber stems.
Are they gathered at any particular time of the year? She said whenever, when they go look, she said she has to find the longest stems that wherever she can find them any time of the year, she'll make them. She'll get those. All year round.
Yeah.
Is it any particular part of the palmetto plant?
No. Nankahe yitta. She says she takes the heart of the centerpiece where there's kind of soft, and that's what she sliced the tip, the bottom, the top of it, and it's kind of wet when they start making them.
What do they have to do to prepare the palm fibers?
She said that you have to, when you get the stems, you have to carve it out and make the thing double in order for it to catch. But she says if you don't know how to do the in the double section, it won't come out right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, to prepare it, what she has to do is carve it out and make it as smooth as she can before she puts it together.
Is that the stem that
the
she's working
of the,
with?
Palmetto fibers.
And does it have to dry at all before she works with it, or does she work with it while it's still green?
She said it has to be wet. She says she likes to make hers while it's still wet because once it dries out, it gets too dry and then it starts cracking open.
And she says that you see the edges around there where it's wrapped around. She says you have to find the longest stem and carve it out. And it's better to put one all the way around. If you don't find that long one, and then you have to put, like, let's say two, you have to take two, then it's harder to put that thing, a raptor, that wrap around that edge. It says it doesn't come out right, or it won't, later on it'll come apart. But it's better to get just one stem, long stem, to wrap it all the way around, and it'll stay longer. So that's how she does it.
Tell us the seminal name for this particular basket.
Yeah, yet the seeds if ginagotum
shaglotum.
Shaglotum, she said.
That's for the grain sifter, the one with the holes.
Yeah, oh,
what is the name of the one that does not have the holes, the collector?
Chubagata.
Yeah, patak pasai gamun kulupot.
The big one is kulupot.
Kulupot. Are there different sizes of this style of basket?
Like chobo and like wikchosho taman ungo.
Eh? Chikor hantan roga.
It's up to the person that's using it. Both big, they use both big. If they want it smaller, it depends on how you used to making it, she said.
When she was growing up, were these common in everybody's home?
Chihamo chimpa gonte chako e yate achim balun tinja gaye ya gogo lehen naga he shilama shikshon tinja malik te goshin unga.
Man, agano iska bali gaye.
Yeah, that's what she says. She says that it was an everyday use at her young, when she was real young. When I was telling you that they used to put the meat in the corn grinder and grind it, she said it was used to keep the food in, to keep the bread in, and it was everyday use.
Where did they get the baskets? Did every family make their own, or was there a central basket maker in the tribe or clan?
She said that everybody made their own in each family, because it was like a big village then when they lived together,
yes.
You know. She said it was an everyday use and an everyday life, and it was, they had to know how to make it back then, so they, all women knew how to make those.
Were there any other styles of baskets besides the grain sifter and the collector made out of the palmetto stems?
She said it was same thing like those, but it was like this. They were tall and big, and that's how they made when they pick up the vegetables that they, like potatoes or corn, they put them in there.
So you would say the basket was maybe 2 or 3 feet tall, with the bottom being
For storage.
Maybe 12, like a what we might call a pack basket.
Yeah, something like that. They used to make those too. It was like an everyday thing that they had to have those things.
Mm-hmm. One other question, I'd like to know if there's a name for the pattern on the basket. I noticed that there's a distinct pattern that's formed. Is there any special name for that?
Yeah, umi aji wat king at yeah, I got yan yam 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 de. What if king a team ho ma la ta wi an ti an ag le ge mai ma lu shi un ga.
De ta ni op ga mai to.
No, there's no special name. It's just to hold it in it. And that's in and out, you know, in a double wide. It's double on the small one. And she said that's how it holds the big one that goes around it.
I see.
So there's no special pattern or anything.
Did you have a question, Dora? Why aren't the baskets still in evidence? Are they being used as much as they were in the past?
She said that it's hardly it's discontinuing because a lot of them, the old ones are dying and there's just few left. And now it's not everyday thing, so you know, it's just here and there. It's not gonna, it's gonna die out eventually, you know.
My next question has to do with the sweetgrass coil baskets, and I'd like to know what's her earliest memory of that style of basket.
Yeah, Shanji. Yeah, himiaga on magway lato mante. Mami hantai ko and mugaye athatin to make the washing unga. No let hantai to all that in your make the washing unga. May yate, impi ota, ya na yetamol, auntie shulin's matter. My magay may haunt check the washing unga.
What do you mean? The way they want to get my child in it.
La Kunawati won't I get it. She said it it wasn't used in everyday life. It was just a matter of people making it to make a little bit of money to do. That's how it was started.
It was sort of as a selling basket then for money.
Yeah, not just for any use. The other one was the everyday life.
Does she know how... where the basket came from?
Mommy, Pahi, Shantung, Aye. She said that she thinks that they got an idea from this all these other baskets that they used to sell, like in stores, and it just gave them an idea to make things to in order to sell it, as because it wouldn't be expensive as the other one.
Ask her if the early materials are the same as they are now. Today the baskets are made of sweetgrass and they're sewn with cotton thread.
Bakshi, shab ni to mante. My imbeke on my home guy Mike mon ma hen shaf nak shun te jamal tu
ma te gam na gam shun shaf na ya ma de na sem go asan na go don ro shun te ya phna ga ma shwi ga sam de ma shun shaf na ma shun ma chaw chen ne tri tu da chu is ka ba shka ma ne jamal ma shuk paun ma si shara jo na tal me jan de.
She said they first started out making it with a pine needles before the sweet basket.
Where did they
in
get
the, in the sewing part? Was those? It wasn't the threads. It was those white things.
The century plant.
Mamogo nagi fashwa watia ila.
My one is it?
Na century plant ya tete. Ila men munnga o lina kutunga mamunnga he shavna malik tshinga tunga nunga.
Why?
Hatu watia ingetga.
But pa fushon. Mas.
She said that she's only seen that that white those things that they used to sew it with. That's what it wasn't threads, but she don't really know where that came from.
But it was some kind of plant material that maybe had a sharp point at one end. Similar maybe to the century plant, but not that. I noticed that some of the sweetgrass baskets have doll heads on them. How did that come into being?
It's just more decoration to make more money, you know, make a living. Because back then, a lot of our people didn't depend on a lot of things, you know. So they made a lot of these baskets
that they felt would create sell,
right,
for the tourist market. I've noticed too that some baskets are color coordinated. They'll be in shades of reds or greens, and I'm wondering if the colors have any special meaning. She thinks that it's just it's not for anything. It has no significance. It's just to put it together in any way they can to sell it. It's just like when they're making designs now, you know, the patchwork designs.
It doesn't mean anything anymore now, you know. It's
just but at one time.
Yeah, at one time it did. But on the baskets, she don't think there is any meaning to it.
Well, on each reservation, for example, here at Big Cypress, is there a special area that people go to make their baskets and to learn to make the baskets?
She said that there is a place where they teach the younger kids now.
Are they elementary school age, young children?
When they come from school and they drop out of from the bus and everything, they take them to straight over there and teach them.
Every day after school or just maybe once a week?
She said that she doesn't know if it's every day, but she knows that one of her granddaughters is learning how to make dolls and stuff.
I wonder if any of the children are interested in learning to make the older style baskets, or any of the young adults are interested in learning to make the palmetto stems.
She hasn't seen anybody approach her.
Who is the best basket maker around? Is everybody real good, or is there someone that everybody says, oh, that person's great?
Well,
or can you ask that?
No.
You can't ask that. Okay. Judy Bill, I have a question for you, and it has to do with your job. you work at the Seminole Arts and Crafts Center, and I know part of your job is to go out in the community and find crafts for your Seminole shop. Could you tell us a little bit about your job and what you do?
The arts and craft is owned by the tribe. It's under the board, and it was put there because as they organized, they knew that one day our own people have to help the older ones and the younger people. It helps the young people when they're going to school, like they make little rings and bracelets, you know, for spending money or something. At the same time, they're learning as well. And for the older people, you know, they don't speak any English at all, so they go and they can't find, you know, a job outside the reservation. So this is why the leaders from the beginning knew that it would exist now, like today. And the arts and craft is there to help, like such as Tommy, you know, she can't go and find a job. She'll make things, and if she brings the stuff and she wants to sell something, we buy from her. And we do that for all the three reservations, Hollywood and Brighton and here, Lake Cypress. And right now, most of the crafts are all being made by the older people and the younger people, like the 20s and 19-year-old ones. They're too busy going to school, working as secretary, and it's dying out. So this is why some of these, like you've seen this cultural people trying to bring this, keep it alive, is by teaching while they're so young. You know, that's why Tommy said that there is a center here for the younger ones, and it gives them something to do at least, you know. And usually the teachers will bring to arts and crafts, and we buy them just to keep it going, so that it'll give us some kind of what do you call it, incentive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what gives it to the children. And we get baskets from the beginners. They're not really that good, but it gives them a chance to make a little bit of money and to help themselves. And while they're getting older, they'll be able to make it.
Well, your job then is you go to the three reservations that you just named, and you purchase crafts from the different people who are working, and then you've been able to sell these items back in your store. And these crafts you ship all over the world, is that right?
All over the United States, and mostly the foreign countries. Like, we sell people from Paris and stuff, but they usually come and buy at the store. We don't ship it out to them because of all the, you know, and they take care of their own shipping and stuff. But in the United States, I ship it to them, you know. They order.
Right.
Every day we get orders, or they want a wholesale price list or a price list or something. And this keeps it rolling, and the money keeps coming back, where it just keeps rolling, like, back and forth.
Well, because of your involvement and going to the reservations, have you seen that the younger people are taking more and more of an interest as they realize how important this particular part of their heritage is?
They are now going back into it, which I'm very proud to say, because, you know, let's take my daughter. She wants to learn how to make baskets and designs, whereas my son don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's making more money working and this other thing. So there's two people, you know, one cares and one don't care. You know?
One question I didn't ask, and I'm curious to know, is basket making made mostly by women, or do men make baskets too?
No, it's mostly women.
But are there a few men basket makers? Or
Seen any.
It's mostly a woman's style of craft.
Yeah. Just like wood carving, you don't see a woman making a wood carving.
Uh-huh.
So
and the women's do predominantly the patchwork, too.
Yes, except for one man. His name is Jimmy Osceola.
And you showed us the picture.
Mm-hmm. He makes real nice designs. Perfect. Takes his time. And he does a real nice job. He makes good jackets, vests. anything.
What reservation is...
He's in Hollywood.
He's in Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to ask about the designs now?
Yeah, so let's just... You want to just trade... Or do you want me to do
it? Go ahead.
Okay. We'll talk some about the patchwork, and if you could...
Seminole people call that the designs.
We call it designs.
Oh, you don't say patchwork.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering, there are different names for some of the designs, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Could you tell us some of the names?
Well, some of the designs that they began with were really like hand-stitch at the time with a needle. That's why they made them real big. And a lot of them like meant something, like you saw that little patch of design you saw was, the lady told you it was lightning or thunder or something like that. And there's another design that's called rain, and it looks like raindrop, you know, mm-hmm. like rain. You know how straight it is, and the rain falls down on the ground. That's what it looks like. And there's some that says fire, and it looks like a fire, you know. And there's some that call human bones, and it looks like human bones. And they do, they still make them. You see it every now and then in a skirt or something.
Uh-huh. Could you tell us the Seminole name for the lightning pattern?
Tonoka.
How would you spell that?
Tonoka. I don't know.
Tonoka.
No, Tonokunta.
Kubasia. Yeah.
Tonoka. Tonokache. Lightning. Tonokache.
Earlier I had asked you about the colors in the baskets, and I'm wondering now with the patchwork, at one time were certain colors worn by for special occasions or by certain people to represent certain things?
No, there's no special color or anything, but it's just that we all like colors, you know, and we just, everything is, you know, just so that it's the prettiest color come out, you know, and that's how they just put them together.
Where did the fabrics come from?
We just buy them from fabric stores, go into fabric stores, and we see some on sale. We try to get the cheapest one we can. But if we're desperate, we just have to pay for the price.
And the rickrack, is the rickrack a new thing that...
Yes, it is. It's they didn't use rickracks back in the time of the big hand stitch, and it was strips. Just straight strips, and they just put it on the thing like rickracks. But that was harder, and if we had to make them now, it would cost a lot of money for a skirt.
What were the designs used for a long time ago, before the tourism?
Well, there wasn't any designs then. It was just pieces of cloth that, well, one lady told me that when they were trading, they were trading like small pieces of material, and they putting it together to try to make a clothes out of. And when they put all these pieces together, they see that it was colorful, and it mm-hmm. could be made into something. That's how it began.
The garment she has on, the special top, is there a name for this top?
Yeah, the name, they call it Shampatagi. Means a cape. It's mainly back in the old days they used it to for protection against mosquitoes and all kinds of sharp sawgrass and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And there's just a little bit of design around the edge of the border of the cape.
Yes, rickracks.
How were the designs learned? Did Tommy learn from her mother?
Tawi aje hantai ne omie ji ta lek unta chuk to shin wa.
Om hon gan hin chuk ta lam to.
She just learned by watching other people making them.
When you start to make a pattern, I notice she's working with narrow strips of cloth. Is Do you start by sewing strips together?
She cuts in the strips and then she puts them together and then she cut them apart to make the designs.
And then she sews them back together to make the long strips.
Mm-hmm.
Would they, if you're working on making a strip, do you just sew a long, long length and keep it rolled up in a bundle until you've made like several yards? You just do a little bit at a time?
No, they just go step by step, like sewing it, cutting it, sewing it. It just gets longer and longer.
Oh,
and
when they keep making it.
When they finish, then they make it into a bundle. You know, they scroll it up.
I've seen the bundles.
Yeah.
It's all rolled and they'll look like about 6 inches across, or so.
It's real long when they finish.
How long does it take to make one of the average adult-sized skirts with all the fancy patchwork?
She doesn't exactly know how long it'd be, but if she had to make the designs, and she makes the design at 4 yards each to make the skirt. She has to put the rickracks on, and she said it would take quite a long time for her,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't know exactly. She can't quote how many weeks or what, you know.
Because she works on strips, and then she does a lot of strips, and then maybe she does several skirts at one time. I see. I'm wondering, I didn't ask you about the baskets, but I wonder how long it takes from gathering the materials to finishing the average size sifter basket.
Mm.